Australia Overnight. Now, Gen Z is coming into the workplace and as consumers. They were born in the years of 1997 to 2012. They're currently 11 to 26 years old, and they're showing the rest of us how the working life should be done. Gen Z are proving to be the most demanding and influential in today's workplace. So you'd better get your head around their demands, quick smart. Gen Z, they want to be paid what they know they're worth, even if they're sort of not or aren't. They've got a few questions for you in your interview. They want the great vibes, the 9-to-5, work from home, the list goes on. Are they too demanding, or can we learn a lesson from all this? To explain more, Tammy Tansley is a workplace culture and leadership expert, and she joins us on Australia Overnight. Hi, Tammy.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Thanks for being here. Well, some say they're too demanding, Gen Z, but there is something in there, isn't there? They're sort of maybe teaching us the way.
I think they might be teaching us the ways. Look, it is interesting. Some of the, so this is from a New York Post that originally suggested that there are some criteria now that the Gen Zs are looking for. So whereas it used to be about paying conditions and maybe just, you know, the obligatory gym membership, now it's, you know, having their own office, that the manager passes the vibe test. Too many cis white men, that's not good. The right dress code. Not having to clean your own office, and of course, as you've already said, flexibility of working from home. So, look, some of those might be a bit sort of excessive, but to your point, I think really what they're looking for is what I think we're all looking for these days, which is a bit of flexibility, but also a bit more than that, which is about what is a decent workplace culture. Mm. And, you know, when we come to work, whether that's at home or work, what do we expect? How do we expect to be treated? How do we expect people to behave towards us? So, you know, while I think some of it's, you know, a bit funny in terms of the questions they're asking, I think the underlying piece is exactly, yes, as you said, that actually there's more to it. And that is, you know, perhaps we can have some expectations of our workplace these days.
Why shouldn't a job interview be, you know, this interview where you're looking at them and they're looking at you? You're trying to find this middle ground where you're both happy, and that's going to be better in the long run.
Absolutely. You know, I often say to people when I'm doing some work with them around interview skills, is it's a bit of a dance. It's exactly that. You know, we often think of interviews being as, well, you know, I'm the powerless person in this situation, but actually it's meant to be about fit. It's meant to be about, you know, I bring a certain set of skills and competencies and experiences. You know, am I the right person for this organisation? And equally, is this the organisation the right organisation for me?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it should be a bit of a dance going both ways.
Australia Overnight, we're chatting to Tammy Tansley, workplace culture and leadership expert, about Gen Z, showing us the way when it comes to the working life and how it's done. Now, you say there, and you're right, you know, some of these demands might be sort of overstepping the mark, but even that, there's even some genius in that, because sometimes you need to push the limits a little bit. You know, in some sort of negotiation where you might sort of, you know, push it a bit harder, and that's even pretty smart.
Well, it's interesting. So you think about all of the fundamental workplace changes that have occurred over time. So, you know, back in the day, there was no such thing as annual leave, for example, or no such thing as long service leave, sick leave even, you know, parental leave, God forbid. So to your point, you know, somewhere along the line, someone has said, actually, I think this is what we need. And that's because society has changed, expectations of work have changed, and, you know, we want this. So I think you're absolutely right. Some of this is about saying, actually, you know, I think it's reasonable to expect that our workplaces and the culture of the workplaces are different to how they've used to be. And we're going to start pushing a bit of that. Is some of the the question and the language a bit funny? Maybe. Uh-huh. But, you know, how else do you get attention? So I think you're right.
Yes, yes. And I guess the question on all that is that, you know, what's the downside? The productivity, are they still going to be as good as somebody who maybe was a bit more subservient or just sort of bowed or yielded a bit more? Can this sort of approach be a good result for the consumer or the customer as well and providing the service?
Yeah, look, I think that's a really good question. And I think what that requires is the organisation to be saying that there's really clear expectations of people for a start. So, you know, in a customer-facing role, for example, you know, the customer is right broadly. You know, what are the standards of behaviour that are just absolutely required, and you know that you have to do those in order to do your job. So there's that piece, and there's absolute clarity around that piece, which sometimes organisations are actually not that good at doing. But then I think there is, exactly to your point, you know, a bit of flexibility around, so we've got people who are pushing the boundaries a bit. Mm. What can we learn from them? If we were listening to them, what would we be getting from them that we're not getting from other people?
Yes.
And there's a real skill in that, particularly, I think, as you said, that if you've got an organisation that's full of people who are dutiful, who do listen, who do, are compliant, who do go along with things, how do you then listening to the other people and not just view them as troublemakers and annoying?
Yes, yes. Well, if you had everybody who, if you surrounded yourself with sort of yes people, you wouldn't get anywhere, would you? It'd be a boring organisation sort of offering a mediocre service, not testing itself in any way. So, it wouldn't be a good idea to do that.
And I think the other tricky thing about yes organisations is, look, I think there's an absolute place for compliance. In some organisations, you know, you absolutely want compliance. So, you know, in think banking, think tax, you know, sort of those more governance sort of organisations, you want people to be doing the right thing. But one of the trickinesses that comes with people who don't speak up is, you know, we have seen so many examples over the last little while of things that have gone terribly, terribly wrong in organisations. Yes. Because people did just put their head down, didn't speak up, didn't say, actually, there's something going wrong here. So, again, where are we building in the capacity for people to speak up and say, hang on a sec, you know, that's not right.
Yep.
And, you know, for the organisation to pay attention to that. Yep. So I think feel like, you know, we're on the cusp of changing a bit in terms of how organisations change and, you know, viewing all of these things. And that's a good thing, I think.
Tammy, and I've actually seen that. You say about organisations where everybody's sort of always saying yes all the time, where something has gone wrong on a legal sort of side, and people outside the business saying, how could that happen? How could that be missed?
Yeah.
And I think it's because everybody in there was too frightened to say anything. So that's why it was missed. You know, the manager was too busy and nobody wanted to speak up. Either they didn't care or they weren't in an environment where they felt comfortable to do so. That's why it was missed.
Absolutely. And, you know, often people do care. They care very, very deeply about this, but they don't feel safe to say it. And you know, again, it's tricky, isn't it? Because we see examples of whistleblowers who have ended up on the wrong side of the law having, you know, done the whistleblowing. So more broadly in society, it doesn't really send a message that actually if you speak up, if you say something's going wrong, that you're going to be treated with respect and you're going to be thanked. If anything, it might go the other way. So super, super tricky. But then if people don't start talking up, if they don't start saying, actually, this is not right, then you see the kind of terrible examples that we've seen both here in Australia and overseas. And so, you know, I guess the question is, how do we get that balance?
Yes. And I guess back to the sort of premise of this chat, it's good. Well, Gen Z, they're onto that. They're going to talk up. And if there's consequences, they just know they're saying the right thing or doing the right thing as far as they're concerned. And they'll live with the consequences.
And what's interesting, I think, about this generation that's coming through is that, you know, so say the consequences is, well, you know, you're not the right fit for this organisation. They're like, okay, I'll go and find another job.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, with unemployment the way it is and so forth, that's actually pretty easy to do, much easier than it has been in other eras. So whereas perhaps, you know, if you're thinking about other generations, that maybe is not necessarily the approach where people would go, okay, well, if the consequence is that I don't have a job, that's too scary for me.
Right.
And
right.
Look, you know, and you know, of course, let's be serious that, you know, of course, the older you get, the more chance, you know, the more likelihood is you've got a mortgage, you've got, you know, kids at school that you're paying for school fees, you know, there are obligations that makes it a bit harder just to say, you know.
But the reality is you can, you know, it's funny, I was in a place recently and the service wasn't that great. The person was grumpy behind the counter and I thought, well, if you don't like your job, you can go find another one.
You can.
You know,
you can.
And that is the reality. If you don't like where you are, it is scary because I've been there and I know, you mortgage, kids, the whole bit. And in your mind, it's just over if the job's gone and the income's not coming in. But I've learned that that's not the reality. The sun will rise the next day and you can get to a better place. So that is the reality. You can take your own destiny in your own hands and basically find another job if you don't like where you're at.
Exactly. Exactly right. And I think that's the difference. Thank you. In terms of this generation of the Gen Z, is that they know that they're like, you know what, I've got a better sense of my own worth compared to perhaps other generations.
And the superstars in your business, they say superstar salespeople or superstar performers, they often have a bit of spark in them. It's really up to the managers and leaders to sort of maybe manage that because they often they're your best people and best performers in lots of occasions and lots of times.
Exactly. And what happens, what we absolutely know about the best performers, is they've got the confidence to go, you know what, this isn't working for me, so I'm going to go. Yeah. So it's the best performers that leave, and the ones that perhaps are a little bit more mediocre or a bit, you know, less sparky, that stay. Yes. And so, you know, organisations have got to get their head around this stuff. How do we bring out the best in people, even if it is a bit challenging, even if it's a bit irritating, a bit kind of annoying? How do we hear what people are saying and going, actually, maybe there's a point here? Mm-hmm.
131 873 for our listeners to join the conversation. And I guess the thing is that Gen Z is coming as far as in the workplace and also consumers from a marketing
exactly.
point of view. And you can put your head in the sand if you like, but they are now moving into that space. They're getting into that age, so we need to harness the way they think and make it work.
And I think the other interesting thing is that we know that people leave for this sort of reason. So we know that if the culture of an organisation, and this is consistent for all ages, not just the younger ones, if the culture of the organisation is toxic, and I'm using that word in inverted commas, people are like, you know what, I don't have to stay anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's good data now that is showing that in the past, people, you probably would have put up with it, but now with everything we know about kind of, you know, workplace bullying, around toxic work culture, around psychosocial hazards, all the stuff that's in the news every day, people are like, you know what, actually I can get a job elsewhere, and I'm going to.
Yep. Yeah, look, there's something to be said for enduring hard times, but that toxic culture, I read this recently and I agree, you know, it could do more damage over a long period of time. Just get out.
Yes.
Just get out.
Exactly.
It's going to ruin your sort of, your mental state, your confidence, everything, and you'll be hard to move forward.
Physical state.
Yeah, just
get out. You know, there's really good evidence around, you know, the impact that it can have on your physical health as well as your mental health. So, yeah, I think you're right. There's a degree of resilience required in terms of what do I have to learn here about dealing with people that are a bit more tricky and all of that. But there comes a point where it's not, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a culture that is just not a good place to be. And then I'm like, yep, let's go. Particularly with unemployment being.
Well, that's right. Yeah, there's opportunities out there. But you need to know the difference, don't you? There's a few times that I just hung in there because I did have the mortgage and the kids and the whole bit. And I'm glad I did, because I did. It did make me stronger and I pushed through. Maybe if I didn't have all those obligations, maybe I wouldn't have pushed through. So you need to use your gut instinct where you say, this is not good for me, I'm out, or I'm going to just endure and see how we go.
And one of the things, I do absolutely agree with that. And I think one of the things that I've learned is that those difficult people, those difficult situations present themselves in different organisations.
Yes.
So, you know, if you've got a tricky person that, you know, you're just finding a bit, you know, annoying to work with, and, you know, your answer to that is, well, I'll just leave, almost invariably.
I like this. Guess what? There'll be another person
they're
will
there.
Fill the role somewhere else. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, there they are again. So I think that the answer to what you're just talking about is it a me issue? So is there something that I've got to learn in this in terms of how I respond, in terms of how I, you know, deal with conflict, in terms of how I deal with annoying or difficult people or just management in general, you know, and being told what to do? Or is it beyond that? Is it more than that? Is it an issue of organisational culture that is just toxic and, you know, everybody's feeling the same way? And you're right, it's hard to differentiate that sometimes, but I think that's the magic when you're able to be able to differentiate that.
I had someone recently say to me, oh, Pat, I think drama sort of follows me around, and I'm thinking, well, hang on, it's not them, it's actually you. I didn't have the heart to tell them. So that happens, you've got to work it out. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Tammy. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Our listeners will contribute now and we'll get some calls, I'm sure. 131 873. Thank you, Tammy Tansley, for being on Australia Overnight.
Thanks very much.